Jeremy from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, / donate, fundage, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Call in your debit or credit card to 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. Keep free speech alive. You can donate to me if you have some extra shekels. I'll take that fundage. If you want to donate to my GoFundMe, the info will be on the show script. Also, you can email me at patrickandjeremyshow@yahoo.com. After, and only after, you've kept RBN alive, because without this platform, we would not have these great broadcasts. Tonight is spiritual health and wellness, as usual. And I want to feature a sermon clip from Pastor Stephen Anderson from Faithful Word Baptist Church. The topic is Gideon, and the theme is throwing down the altars of Baal. Gideon was a young warrior that was commissioned by God to fight for his people, the people of God. And before he was able to take on go into his military commission, he had to throw down the altars of Baal that his father had allowed to be erected. So we'll get into a little bit of this sermon. There's actually a Jew in the congregation in Pastor Anderson's audience, and he calls him out wearing a yarmulke. It's pretty funny. Let's play this clip, and if the break hits us, we'll just, break it up, come back on the other side. Anyway, go ahead, Mike, and play that.
Seeing this angel face to face who does this miracle and then disappears out of his sight. And so the Lord reassures him in verse 23, "Peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die." Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And so, of course, you don't have to know much Hebrew to know what shalom means, right? If anybody knows one word in Hebrew, that's simply what it is. It means peace. So he's talking about the fact that the Lord is at peace with him, because what did the Lord say to him? Peace be unto thee. Fear not. Thou shalt not die. Now look at verse 25. It says, "It came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it." And so we see here that there's Baal worship in the land of Israel. This is the problem, right? This is why they can't just cry unto the Lord and be delivered. Gideon is being raised up to deliver them, but he's not just going to deliver them whether they're right with God or not. That's not how God works, okay? So when it comes to a nation, God's blessing is only upon a nation when they are doing right by the Lord, okay? We're not talking about personal salvation here by grace through faith. What we're talking about is God's blessing upon a nation. You know, for example, we could pick some of the most wicked nations in this world today, and yet there are people in those nations that are saved Christians that are living for God. And so we would look at that nation and say, that nation is not blessed by God. That nation is under the curse of God. You name the wicked nation, right? North Korea or something, right? Or even something along the lines of, Turkey or Saudi Arabia or any of these Muslim countries that you want to name. Those aren't under the blessing of God because they have a false god, okay? They're not being blessed by God, but yet an individual person within that nation could be saved simply by just believing on Jesus Christ, just by faith alone, through grace alone. And then also, there could be people in that nation that are not only saved, but they're also serving God and living for God and being a good Christian in the midst of that crooked and perverse nation where they dwell, whatever that nation is. And in many ways, the United States has become wicked, and yet we as Christians can be godly and be blessed and so forth. Now, when it comes to salvation, salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. But when it comes to being blessed by God, it's not enough to just believe in Christ. In order to be blessed by God, we're to keep his commandments if we want to get the blessings. It's sort of like my children. They don't have to do any work to be born into my family. They're born into my family through the efforts of mainly my wife. But, you know, I put a little effort into that too, okay? But that's how they're brought into the family. But once they're in the family, there's nothing that they could ever do to stop being our son or daughter. They'll always be our son or daughter. That can never change. But if they want to get the blessings, they have to obey their parents, right? And if they disobey their parents, they're going to get a spanking, okay? If they obey their parents, they're going to get a blessing. But does that have anything to do with whether or not they're a son or daughter? No. So it's the same thing with salvation. You know, we are sons or daughters of God by virtue of believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's not enough to just be a child of God in order to receive all the blessings of God, because we need to keep his commandments, just like if my kids want to receive all the blessings. You know, they may not get dessert if they were being naughty. They don't get the dessert. That's a blessing that they don't get. But it's not like, well, you're not my son anymore. But it might be no dessert for you, right? That would be reasonable, or whatever the discipline. And so it's the same thing with God, is that, you know, nations don't have a soul that goes to heaven or hell as a whole nation, right? Individuals have souls that go to heaven or hell, and that's determined by faith in Christ. But as a nation, there's also just, is the nation following the Lord, or is the nation honoring God? Is the nation wicked in the sight of God? And so famously, George Washington said, nations can't be judged in the next world, they can only be judged in this world. And that makes perfect sense, because nations are a thing of here and now. And so in order for God to bless the nation, they have to be right with God. Now here's what's so funny about that, is that today this totally goes out the window when we talk about the nation of Israel, because the nation of Israel is one of the most wicked nations on this planet. Amen. Now I could get up and say Saudi Arabia is wicked, Iraq is wicked, Iran is wicked, and it was, amen, yeah. But a lot of Christians, a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republican types, they would get offended when you say that Israel is one of the most godless, wicked, evil countries on this earth. Amen. And they reject the Lord Jesus Christ just as much as the Muslims do. In fact, they reject him a little more. Because at least the Muslims claim that Jesus was some kind of a prophet. Now, they don't believe he's the Son of God, so they're damned. The Jews don't even believe that he was a good person. The Jews completely reject the Lord Jesus Christ as a liar and a fraud. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Israelis of today reject the Lord Jesus Christ as a nation. And obviously there are a very small minority in Israel that are saved. Just like in every country, there are people who are saved. There are a lot less in Israel than in other places, but there are always people that are saved, and those individuals are blessed by God. Those individuals are the people of God. Those individuals are God's elect. They get all the blessings and so forth. But as a nation, Israel's a wicked nation. You know, they promote sodomy. They have the only gay pride parade in the whole Middle East. Tel Aviv has been named one of the most favorite cities for queers in the world to visit on vacation anywhere. So it's a super wicked nation. And yet today, people will say, well, you know, they're worshiping the same God as we are. But wait a minute. In the book of Judges here, we see that the children of Israel, even in Gideon's own household, even amongst his father's household, they are worshiping Baal. Now, Baal is not the God of the Bible. Now, here's the thing about that. The word Baal simply means Lord. Okay, if you actually study the original language, you'll know that Baal, it means husband or Lord or master. You know, that in itself has a message there. Okay, but anyway, that's for another time. But anyway, master, Lord, husband, this is what this word means in Hebrew. Even in modern Hebrew, it's the same thing. Okay. And so this word is talking about the Lord, but is it the same Lord that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were worshiping? No, this is a false god of the Canaanites who they call Lord, okay? But it's not the right Lord. It's the wrong Lord. And so people could talk about God or the Lord and not necessarily be talking about the same God or the same Lord that we are, okay? Even the Muslims would say there's one God and talk about one God. But is the God of Islam the God of the Bible? Absolutely not. Okay, and how do I know that the children of Israel today, the Israelites over there, the Israelis, if you will, how do I know that they are not worshiping the God of the Bible? Because here in this passage, wouldn't you agree that they have another God right here? That Joash has another God? That Gideon's dad, Joash, has another God? How do I know that they have a different God? Because the Bible says, whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son has the Father also. So if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. If you don't have Jesus, you have a different God. It's not like, well, they believe in God the Father, they just don't have Jesus. They do not believe in God the Father. They have a different God. And that God is Satan, which is why they're called in Revelation 2 and 3, the synagogue of Satan. And let me tell you something. If I were a born-again Christian, if I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, the last thing I would do is wear a funny hat on my head that is not something that is ever taught in the Bible, but that is only part of a religion that hates and rejects the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Okay? And just like I would not walk into an independent Baptist church with a shirt on that said, AC/DC, Highway to Hell. Yeah. Right? I mean, would that be appropriate attire to walk into a Baptist church? Highway to Hell. Hail Satan. Well, you know what? I would also not walk into a Baptist church with a yarmulke on, because that is basically saying, Hail Satan. Because that is a satanic religion. And you didn't get that from the Bible, sir. You got it from the devil. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Okay, well then quit walking around looking like a Jew, okay? This is not a Jewish synagogue. We don't worship Satan here. We worship the Lord Jesus Christ. We worship Jesus, okay? That is not a symbol of Christianity. That is a symbol of the Antichrist. You're wearing a hat that says, I follow the Antichrist religion. Amen. You have something to say to me?
Yes. When we cover our head.
Hey, why don't you cover your whole head then? Would you like a baseball cap? Because Fidel here, stand up, Fidel. Stand up, Fidel. This man has his head covered. Yes. And you know what? If I look at this man, I don't think that he's a Jew that hates Jesus. I don't think he rejects the Messiah. I don't believe that he rejects that Jesus is the Son of God. You know,
yeah, that's right.
I like your hat.
I love you.
So that is the symbol of Baal that you're wearing on your head right now. Okay? So, hey, go ahead. Come in here wearing that. No problem. Come in here wearing a Hail Satan t-shirt, but you might get called out for it because it's wicked.
Amen.
All right, beloved, let's move on. The Bible says in verse number 25, it came to pass that the same night the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw the yarmulke off your head that your father has on his head, and cut off the tassels hanging from his clothes so he doesn't look like a Jew that hates Jesus and worships a different God.
Amen.
Okay, sorry, that's not what it says. It says, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer it a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. And so you see that first, before you can offer a sacrifice unto the Lord, you got to first throw down the altar of Baal. You can't have the altar of Baal and then just add the Lord's altar to it. You can't say, well, I'm a Hindu, but I'm also going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm Jewish, and I'm going to follow all the traditions of the synagogue of Satan, but I'm also just going to add Jesus to that. I'm going to be a Messianic Jew. Now, why don't you just be Messianic, period, and I have another word for that, Christian. Okay? Or, you know, you can't sit there and say, well, I'm a Buddhist Christian. I'm a Muslim Christian. No, you got to throw down the altar of Baal so that you can build the altar of the Lord and worship the Lord exclusively. And you could say, well, I'm just going to worship the Lord on the altar of Baal. You know, I'm just going to wear the yarmulke, but I'm going to be praying to Jesus. But no, God doesn't want to be worshiped on the altar of Baal. He wants to be worshiped on the altar of the Lord, which is a totally different altar. The Bible says in verse number 27, then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And so notice what it says here. It's interesting. He doesn't necessarily fear his father, but he fears the men of his father's household, and he fears the rest of the town. Okay. So possibly he knows that his dad is maybe going to back him up on this. But it's interesting that his dad has tolerated this altar of Baal. And, you know, is he the builder of this altar? Is he the one who brought in Baal worship? We don't really know. The Bible doesn't tell us. But at least he's tolerating the altar of Baal. He has it on his property. Gideon maybe knows that his dad may back him up, but he definitely fears his father's servants in the town. And we're going to see in a moment why, because he had good reason to fear them. And so it says in verse 28, when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said unto one another, who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death whilst it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal, saying, let Baal plead against him, because he hath thrown down his altar. Now, here's what I love about this particular part of the story, is that oftentimes when one person stands up for what's right and takes a stand for the Lord, they can actually turn around a whole situation that looks completely impossible. Because if you look at this, Joash has the idol in his property. It's known as his, you know, idol. And the whole town and all of his servants, they're all into Baal, all of them. But because Gideon throws down the altar of Baal, all of a sudden, his dad switches sides and says, anybody who's for Baal, let them be put to death. Now, that's a pretty bold statement, right? To just switch it from, oh, you threw down the altar of Baal, you're going to be put to death, to no, anybody who's for Baal gets put to death. And this situation gets completely turned around to where Baal is on the run. Instead of the worshipers of the Lord being on the run, now Baal's on the run. And that's often what it takes, is just for one person to stand up and do what's right and take a stand for the Lord, and other people will sometimes come out of the closet, as it were, as a Bible-believing Christian. You know, because, you know, is it possible that Gideon's dad just turned on a dime because he loves Gideon so much? You know, I feel like there's a little bit of foreshadowing that Gideon already kind of feels like his dad's going to be on his side. It's possible that maybe Gideon's dad is just this watered down guy that just kind of allows the Baal worship to go on, and he has the Baal image there and everything like that, but that he's not really necessarily into it. So he's kind of just a watered down, do nothing guy. But maybe he's not really into Baal. Everybody around him is definitely into Baal. But when Gideon actually throws down the altar, now his dad switches sides. And by his dad speaking up, he's able to turn around the whole situation. And of course, his dad's logic is sound because he says, well, you know, why do you guys feel like you have to defend Baal? If Gideon came in and destroyed the altar, why can't Baal avenge himself? Is it maybe because he's not a real God?
Okay, that was a commentary on the altar of Baal being thrown down. So before Gideon could do a mighty work and be a general for his people, the people of God, he had to throw down the altar of Baal. And that's what I would wonder. In America, many altars of Baal up. The altar of trannyism and the sodomite marriage that exists here in this country. This country may never be a Christian country again. It most likely is under judgment, and the judgment we're seeing played out right now. But the people of God are still here, and if you're a born-again believer, you know, you've got to be willing to stand up and throw down these altars that have been erected. This is in your individual life as well. Throw down anything in your life that would stop you from serving the Lord. And as we saw in the message of Gideon here, you can read about this in Judges 6 through 8, chapter 6 through 8. Gideon becomes a great man of God that uses only 300 soldiers to go against tens of thousands of Midianites and wins a great victory supernaturally under the Lord. But it all started with cleaning house in your own household. All right. So I'll be taking calls after the next break if you want to ring in and give me your take. 512-248-8252. Just wanted to cover a couple of articles here. Over in the Ukraine, we have Zelensky throwing down basically Russian Orthodox churches. This from Russia Today. And if any of your Christian friends support Ukraine, I mean, this is like a nail in the coffin that you can bring up to them. Zelensky sanctions top clerics, Russia Today. President Volodymyr Zelensky has ordered personal sanctions on senior figures in the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. The Kiev government launched a crackdown on the denomination last year, claiming that it had harbored Russian agents. So regardless of what you want to think about Russia, I mean, they are taking a stand for traditional Christian values, and this is in the face of the Zelensky regime, where they call it a democracy, but I mean, he is took control of all media. He's cracking down on churches, and this is definitely a Jewish regime here that is completely anti-Christ and anti-Christian. Back to the article, the order published by the Ukrainian president's office on Wednesday enacts a motion issued by the National Security Defense Council to seize assets and impose other restrictions on individuals. The list includes Metropolitan Bishop Pavel and Chernobyl, the senior cleric in Ukraine's most prominent Orthodox monastery. The Kiev Lavara and retired Metropolitan Yesli of Izium and Kuponetsk. And I'm not pronouncing those names probably quite right, but it also targets several priests of the Russian Orthodox Church, whose parishes are located in Crimea, as well as Ukrainian businessman Vadim Novinsky, who holds the office of a deacon of the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. The Security Council has also been slapping sanctions in a similar way on individuals who allegedly pose a threat to Ukraine. Critics of Zelensky say that he is using the body, which he controls, to persecute political and religious opponents. There we see in the story of Gideon, he threw down the altar of Baal. Here we see in the Ukraine, I mean, Zelensky, the Jewish warlord, I guess. I don't know what faggot comedian, what's a better way to describe him, trying to overthrow Christianity in his own country. This is not just a battle of geopolitical positions. This is a battle of spirituality. This is a battle of morality. And you see this here playing out. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church, which has historic ties with the Russian Orthodox Church, has been targeted by a crackdown since November. Then the domestic security agency started raiding monasteries and other church property, reportedly looking for evidence of collusion with Russia. Churches may be hiding saboteurs, stockpiling weapons, or be otherwise involved in treason, according to the agency that's persecuting them. So really, it's a persecution against Christianity and against Jesus Christ, and they're using the subterfuge of saying, well, you're Russian collaborators. You know, because Russia stands for Christianity and wants to maintain the integrity of Russian citizens in the Donbass, because of that, we're going to come down on you. I mean, this is very similar to what the Bolsheviks did in 1917 in Russia. They declared Christianity illegal. While interestingly enough, the Jewish temples were left unscathed in the Bolshevik Revolution. But yet Christians, priests, and anybody that was nationalistic towards Russia was put to death at that time. You can read these accounts in Alexander Solzhenitsyn's work, which is widely available now. It wasn't up until about the 90s when finally the Iron Curtain fell and researchers were able to get in and to discover these truths, that indeed the Bolsheviks, the Jewish-controlled Bolsheviks, were on a rampage and a war against Christianity. If you were a Jewish officer, a Bolshevik officer, they declared that you had the right to other men's wives, and you could take them out on the street. And if they resisted, then you could attack their entire family and their household. Very similar thing going on here. Back to the RT article, this month the media in Ukraine revealed that Zelensky had stripped 13 Ukrainian Orthodox Christian priests of their Ukrainian citizenship after imposing personal sanctions on them. Reports said the presidential order depriving them of their status was issued secretly in late December. The list, published by news outlets, included some bishops previously raided by the SBU. Ukraine has experienced religious turmoil for decades, with some priests breaking away from the Ukrainian Orthodox Church to form schismatic organizations. One of the most prominent splits took place in 2018 and was widely perceived in the country as an attempt by then-President Poroshenko to boost his re-election chances. The Orthodox Church of Ukraine, which was established as a result, has been pushing the Ukrainian government for aid in taking over the UOC's parishes and properties. So again, you see this onslaught against Christianity in the Ukraine. And so it's up to individuals to stand up, throw down the altars of Baal, first of all, in your own household, in your own life, anything that would stop you from serving the Lord, but then on a national level. And when we get back from the break, I'll apply this to here in America, how, you know, the altars of Baal, what does that look like? Well, that looks like child transgenderism, homo marriage, everything that our governments, that the federal government pushes down our throats. And hopefully states and local legislatures will push against us. We'll be back on the other side after the break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight 4 of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
Okay, we're back to Endpoint Sight, Spiritual Health and Wellness Edition. We just covered the sermon clip from Pastor Anderson on how Gideon, before he took on the Midianites and stood up for his nation, he had to clean house in his own family and throw down the altars of Baal, those things that are wicked and evil in our lives and even in our nation. And his own dad had tolerated this altar, and Gideon threw it down. Threw the gauntlet down, as it were, and that was necessary before he was able to take a stand for the Lord. So I want to reiterate something that the pastor mentioned, is that personal salvation, being born again, is not of works. There's no works that you can do. Ephesians 2 in verse 8 and 9, for by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Let's go to verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The Bible teaches that if you're born again, if you're a believer, that the Lord has already mapped out your life, that you are elect before the foundation of the earth. You had nothing to do with it, and that he has purposed good works for you. So the works that you do are not to earn salvation by any means, as I just read in Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10, but rather they're ordained for us to walk in, that we should do these good works once we're born again. And that's the whole thing that he was bringing up, is that taking a stand against evil and calling these things out, you know, those are the good works that we should walk in. We should be light and salt. What does light do? It exposes evil. It exposes the dark corners. What does salt do? Salt preserves. We have been called to preserve the culture, but yet the Christian church in the last 70 years, these evangelical so-called Judeo-Christians, they've not preserved the culture. They allowed, through the sexual revolution, the family to be destroyed. And with the family, so goes the church. And the church began ordaining women and homosexuals into office as bishops, as pastors. This Israel worship that the evangelicals have engaged in, as the pastor mentioned, this is nothing but the synagogue of Satan. And so you see a correlation as the nation's moral stance goes. That was in correlation with the church failing to do its job to shed light on evil and to preserve the moral culture, you know, as salt would preserve a deer carcass or, you know, whatever meat that you want to preserve and hang up like they did back in the olden days. The church has failed at this, and we're seeing the results now. Lifesite News, alarming video shows non-binary teacher grooming 4 and 5 year olds with gender ideology. You know, let me just break in and say before we get into this article, what is this next generation going to be? The Zoomers. I mean, they're either, what I've noticed about the Zoomers is like, they're either totally libtard, like commies, or they're total fascists. They go from one extreme to the other. But the ones that are bad are really bad. And what is all of this doing to the generation after the Zoomers? These are 4 and 5 year olds in North Carolina being groomed to think that there's not two genders, that they could be a different gender, that the sodomite lifestyle is acceptable. They're being groomed for that. What will this nation look like in 10, 15, 20 years? I mean, how bad is it now? And how bad is it going to be? It's a very scary thought. You know, God will move in judgment. And America is no longer a Christian nation. It is under the judgment of God. And when you go to the supermarket and you see $8 eggs for, you know, a dozen or 18 eggs, I mean, this is the judgment of God coming down. And it's something that our leaders have brought on us. The leaders were put there in place. Yes, that is right. Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they were put in leadership by God. Why? As a judgment. That's a judgment on this nation. That's what you boomers asked for. And even those of us in late Generation X, that's what we asked for. By not being light and salt and preserving this culture. So back to the Lifesite article. A video reportedly shown in daycares in North Carolina has sparked online backlash for depicting a teacher blatantly indoctrinating every young child into radical gender ideology. The clip, which is part of a larger documentary called Reflecting on Anti-Bias Education in Action, The Early Years. Again, Reflecting on Anti-Bias Education in Action, The Early Years. This video was shown during a training hosted by the North Carolina Association for the Education of Young Children. According to Washington Free Beacon journalist Jordan Chamberlain, in the video, the female teacher, Maddie Piper, she claims to be non-binary, by the way, introduces a group of 4 and 5 year old children to a new friend in our class. Who's the friend, you may ask? A baby doll that they called Nash. Repeatedly using the they pronouns to refer to the doll. The doll is they. Piper tells the children that Nash is just a kid and, like her, isn't sure whether it's a boy or a girl. And they have Twitter feeds of this Nash person. Nash says the kids can be boys or girls. The teacher begins to answer. A little girl interjects, that a kid also could be they or non-binary. A group of teachers discussed the interaction in a separate segment in the video, with one suggesting that the little girl's response was a huge testament to how much we've been talking about it in the classroom. 4- and 5-year-old children being told that they don't have to identify as male or female, that they can be non-binary, they can be theys. It was just like non-binary. Yeah, that's just something that we know, another teacher said. They're 4 and 5 years old, and they didn't just make a big deal out of being a boy or a girl. The video generated backlash online, hopefully, with some users arguing that the instruction presented in the documentary is evidence of grooming that ought not be tolerated in society. So what are they talking about grooming? If a child, if a 4 and 5 or even a 10-year-old child can be told that they don't have gender, they can choose their own gender. And in some states, like California, they can even have surgery or chemical treatments, what a word, to castrate little boys, to mutilate them. Little girls can have their breasts cut off. If they can decide their gender, then certainly they can decide whether they want to have sex with an adult. That is exactly where it's going. This is the culmination of the church and of Christians failing to be light and salt, failing to preserve the culture. They go in with these televangelists like Joel Osteen and John Hagee and all of the like, all of these people with $6,000 blazers and mansions. They go in with them. They don't want to throw down that altar of Baal. They don't want to stand up and say, enough, enough, we're done. They refuse to do that. Now, some of these Christians may even be saved. I mean, they may even be born-again believers. Very few of them, I would think. But believing in Christ, being born again, yes, it's by grace you're saved through faith, not of works. But once you're saved, you're supposed to stand up. You're supposed to push back against this degeneracy. You're supposed to throw down the altars of Baal that are here in our own country. Do you think we're going to escape God's judgment? I mean, expensive eggs on the shelves, that's what everybody's talking about. How about mushroom clouds in major cities in America? That's what I would expect to see. That's what this country has coming to it. Do you think the Lord is going to let this go? Do you think that he's going to allow these children to be taught this degeneracy? With America still claiming to be a Christian nation, I don't even know that it does. But it once did. No, it is not gonna stand. And he will raise up other countries to come in and take us down. And I think that's what we're seeing with this whole power shift over to the East. I think that's exactly what we're seeing. Church of England. Let's go to the UK. Church of England allows priests to bless anal unions. The head of the Anglican Church, Archbishop Canterbury Justin Welby, is Jewish. So, LifeSite News reports the Church of England approved blessings for same-sex civil unions for the first time after an intervention from a cabinet member urging the church to overturn its ban on same-sex marriage. Justin Welby, Archbishop of Canterbury, Jewish. This is what you get when you do this whole Jewish-Christian thing. Because I don't know if the people that say they're Jews ethnically today, I don't know that they're the people of the Bible. I mean, some of them could be. There's a lot of debate there. Don't want to get into that. But they're definitely of the synagogue of Satan. They say they're Jewish. That's what they say in their publications. In the Jew for Jew publication, you know, like Haaretz and Jerusalem Post, like in the books, An Empire of Their Own, where Jews claim that they dominate Hollywood, like in the book The Chosen Getting In, the writings there, where Jews claim to dominate the upper echelons of academia, Harvard, Yale. They say they're Jews. So are they the Jews of the Bible? I don't know. Ethnically, that would be hard to prove or disprove. But that's what they're saying that they are. And Christians have no fellowship with these people. You must throw down the altar of Baal. Throw down the altar of Satan if you're going to stand for the Lord. Lifeshot News. Although stopping short of allowing full-blown solemn church weddings for same-sex couples, the Anglican bishops of England are allowing church blessings for gay and lesbian unions that will include prayers of dedication, quote, thanksgiving and God's blessing following a legal marriage ceremony. It wasn't enough for the sodomites, whether they're in the UK or over here in America. It wasn't enough that they had their unions sanctioned by the government. You know, before gay marriage was a thing, they could get insurance benefits for, you know, for sodomite couples. That wasn't enough. They had to completely and utterly make a mockery of the institute of marriage that God instituted in the book of Genesis between a man and a woman. They had to completely mock that and put it in your face. And now we have legislation in America. It's not just a court ruling. It is legislation. It is the law, the federal law of the land, that sodomites can be married. So what happens in theory? Let's say a Baptist preacher or any preacher in America refuses to do a marriage with a sodomite couple. Well, under the 14th Amendment, I mean, he can be prosecuted. It can be criminal charges for sure. But even if it's not, I mean, they can, you know, they can take him to court and strip the church of all its money if the church refuses to bless a sodomite marriage. You know, that's where we're at. Again, this is where we're at because the church has refused to stand up like Gideon did and be salt and light and fight for the Lord. They refused to overthrow the altars of Baal. They let them stay. Go back to the article. Anglican Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, defended the new policy. Quote, this response reflects the diversity of views in the Church of England on questions of sexuality, relationships, and marriage. Justin said in a statement, I rejoice in that diversity, and I welcome this way of reflecting it in the life of our church. I'm under no illusions that we are proposing today will appear to go too far for some and not nearly far enough for others, but it is my hope that we have agreed that we will be received in a spirit of generosity, seeking the common good. Is it the common good that Tommy has two daddies or Mary has two mommies? Is that the common good? What are you doing to these children? What kind of generation are we raising up? You think it's bad now? Wait till the children of the Zoomers get in power. 15, 20, 30 years from now. The Zoomers are going to be bad enough. But what is this doing to the generation after theirs? Dissident Catholic Jesuit F.R. James Martin retweeted Welby's statement on Twitter, celebrating the Church of England's new acceptance and blessing of same-sex unions. That makes me want to get in on the Jesuit thing. It's all the Jesuits, right? Look at all these Jesuits that Biden appointed to office. No, they're Jews. But that having been said, the Jesuits are pretty rotten too, so I'm not going to carry water for them. I will say that it's not a Jesuit thing, it's a Jewish power thing. And the Christians they don't say that they're Jesuit Christians. They say they're Judeo-Christians. They have married themselves to the synagogue of Satan that seeks to destroy, that has destroyed our country. That's who they marry themselves to, not the Jesuits, even though the Jesuits are pretty bad. Break now, back on the other side.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Health and wellness. I hope it's been edifying for those of you that are Christians. And for those of you that are unbelievers, I hope that you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to cover the last article in the theme of throwing down the altars of Baal to restore the country from Christianity Today. Headline reads, "We live in Babylon, not Israel." Looking back to ancient Israel, the emphasis was on purity, not evangelism. Basically this, I'm not going to read this thing word for word. We do live in Babylon. I mean, the entire world is moving towards a new Babylon. This is outlined in Revelation 17 and 18, the new Babylon, which the Antichrist will have as his capital. If you look at the old Babylon, you can kind of get a sense for this. All people were of one language and of one nation. There were not nations divided at that time. And they were told by God to disperse throughout the earth, but they gathered themselves together against God and formed a city of idolatry. And they said that we'll build a city that will reach into the heavens. So they sought to have a name for themselves after the flood so that they would not be dispersed. But the Lord judged them. He separated them into national groups, ethnicities, and gave them separate languages and dispersed them upon the face of the earth. So you see, the new Babylon is a reversal of that. It's going to be the breakdown of national barriers, the breakdown of ethnicities, or some people would say race, even though race is not in the Bible. It's sort of a social and political construct, but the Bible does talk about ethnicities, nations. The breaking down of these to form this one world government, one world religion. And that's what the earth is rushing towards. And it can do this under many names: COVID restrictions, the vaccines. The vaccines definitely setting up an infrastructure so that you have to put something in your body to be able to live. Anyway, we're heading towards the new Babylon, and we as Christians have to break down the altars of Baal and stand up. Now that you're born again, your works matter, and you got to do the works so that you can please the Lord and get the blessings. We'll be back tomorrow night with William Repillum. Y'all stay classy tonight. God bless.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.